If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
What are the odds that a man will admit to having cried at a wedding? Or what are the odds, the chances of a woman saying she wouldn't date a man because he's too short? What do you think the odds are that a person 18 years old or older will die of lung cancer caused by secondhand smoke? Or the odds that a bride will sign a prenup before she gets married? It's all in the Book of Odds. Louise Firth Campbell is the co-author of the Book of Odds. From Lightning Strikes to Love at First Sight, The Odds of Everyday Life. It's published by William Morrow, and she's our guest in this segment on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You know, these are terrific bathroom readers, and I mean that as a compliment. I don't mean that to put you down in any way, but they're great bathroom readers, and I've read Book of Odds books before, and I kind of wonder how much consistency there is in these odds, and how much study goes into finding out that the odds an email will contain pornography are 1 in 12. I mean, how much study needs to be done to come up with that definitive answer?
Well, it depends upon what the issue is. There are some things for which there are lots of data collected repeatedly in a consistent fashion. So, for example, cancer diagnosis or cancer death odds and so forth are compiled every couple of years by the Center for Disease Control, and it's something called the SEER database. But there are other things that are more one-offs and or a little more difficult, like the odds you'll get struck by lightning. That took a bit of work to do, and especially because it changes over time, and as well as other things that are, you know, like one-off events and not something that is routinely collected and analyzed by lots of people. So the more something is studied, the easier it is to compile the odds and have a definitive answer. And then we also have to deal with the fact that sometimes there's more than one source that collects information, but the information may be a little bit different. And a good example of that are crime data. There are two categories of crime data. One is things that are reported to the authorities, to the police and FBI, and others are representations or recollections of people who are the subject of crime, and that's done by an annual household survey. And we, in something like that, where it's really two kind of different things, we elected in our work to include both kinds of odds. But it really depends on the type of the category of work and whether it's been studied a lot versus not a lot at all.
It's interesting. Interesting information. I love reading these things. Here's Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Roizen.
And I must admit, this is a wonderful book, nicely organized, great. And you have a Facebook page that people can go to for information. Book of Odds on the Facebook.com page. Now, one of the things is it also tells you what the chances of reducing your odds of things, such as. What are the odds of breast cancer, Louise?
Yes, I mean, the odds of breast cancer, the odds a woman will be diagnosed with breast cancer in her lifetime are 1 in 8.
And you can reduce those, I take from reading the book, by doing what things?
Well, there's two kinds of risks associated with lots of different conditions and illnesses, and one of them are uncontrollable risk, and the other category is controllable risk. And for breast cancer, so for example, for breast cancer, if you have a first-degree relative, that would mean a mother, sister, or daughter that's been diagnosed with breast cancer, your odds are considerably worse than 1 in 8. They're 1 in 4.5 for one first-degree relative that's been diagnosed. About 15 to 20% of that, the family history risk is explained by gene mutations in the BRCA1 or BRCA2 genes, but both of those are uncontrollable risk factors. You're born with it, you have a predisposition or some other factors that means if your first-degree relatives have it, you're probably going to have a higher risk of getting that. There are some controllable risk factors for breast cancer, and they're the kind of things that you find in lots of different conditions. So they're excess weight, smoking, and exercise are three of the most common controllable risk factors.
So this is if you do exercise, you're less likely to get it. How much does it reduce it if you say you do 30 minutes of exercise a day?
Well, it depends upon the amount of exercise you do and how long you've been doing it. But a woman who exercises can reduce her risk of being diagnosed with breast cancer from 6% to 28%, depending on the type and duration of exercise. The other kind of thing you can do is to stop smoking if you smoke. So a very recently published study in February 2013 found the rate of new cancers was 24% higher in smokers and 13% higher in former smokers than non-smokers. A lot of the prior work on that particular topic has been confounded because both alcohol and smoking were highly correlated, but this study purports to isolate the smoking risk. So that's relatively
recent. So if you stop smoking and you exercise and stay thin, your odds are something like, what, 1 in 12?
Well, unfortunately, they do not have the compounding effects, and you could try just multiplying, but there hasn't been any study that says if you just do A, B, and C, the risk reduction is Z. But if you do watch all those controllable factors, chances are you're going to reduce your odds considerably. Obesity, you mentioned stay thin. It doesn't mean you have to stay thin. It means you just can't be overweight or obese. Body mass index is a measure that basically takes into account your height and weight, not just your overall weight. And it's a way to define obesity. A body mass index of 25 or less is considered normal. Body mass index of 25 to 30 is considered overweight, but a body mass index of 30 or over is considered obese. And again, a recently published study found a body mass index of 30 to 34.5 is associated with a higher breast cancer risk of about 23%, while a body mass index of over 35, that's very obese, is associated with a higher breast cancer risk of 39%. So obesity is not a good thing for breast cancer or other things for that matter.
Now, another thing I found fascinating, I mean, you have all kinds of statistics about being a student, and one of them is not everyone makes it to graduation, and many drop out. And the odds of a student at a public high school will drop out by the end of the school year, I thought was very interesting in that it varied substantially by state, so that, for example, it's much lower in South Dakota than it is in Alaska. And I would have thought, geez, these states are both cold in the winter. Why is there such a huge difference? 1 in 13 or 1 in 14 drops out in Alaska as opposed to 1 in 43 in South Dakota.
Yeah, and I don't know the whys for each of those things, but there's a lot of factors to be considered. For example, I live in Massachusetts, and we have one of the lowest dropout rates in the country. We also have one of the highest, we call it MCAS, Massachusetts CAS, the standardized tests that are administered each year. And our students tend to do better on that as well. And are those exactly related? I don't know. But for whatever reason, we have a lower dropout rate and a better performance among high school students in Massachusetts than many of the other states.
Now, another thing you talk about is the odds of getting a job and depending on other things and the odds of majoring in certain things in college. Will it be a boy or a girl? The odds of a child being one or the other, living together, and sexuality. And one of the things that we often speak about is that 50% of pregnancies are unplanned. So when we come back, I'm going to talk to you more about that and the chances of getting pregnant on prom night are discussed in here, and the differences whether you use condoms or not. So we'll go over that when we come back. Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mai, thank you very much. To reach us on the email here today, it's youdocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. And if you have a question or an odds question for our guest, Louise Firth Campbell, her book is called The Book of Odds. From Lightning Strikes to Love at First Sight, The Odds of Everyday Life. It's published by William Morrow. Just email us up, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Louise Firth Campbell is the Chief Operating Officer of the Book of Odds. Her book is called The Book of Odds. She's the co-author From Lightning Strikes to Love at First Sight, The Odds of Everyday Life. It's published by William Morrow, and one of her specialties is health and medical odds. And again, here's Dr. Mike Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. There's a whole bunch of just actually wonderfully interesting material in here. And so one of our viewers or readers or listeners asked us to ask you, what's the odds a 35-year-old single woman will get married by age 45?
Well, the older you are, the less likely it is you will get married. But we do have some in this book, some of the odds based on age. If you've never been married before, the odds you'll get married at age X, Y, and Z. And in fact, they're in the chapter called Marriage, which I'm sort of turning to right now. So it's not so much, I don't think they break it down within the next 10 years as much as they do the odds of the person of a given age, likelihood of getting married. And I'm trying to find what those are now. But those are available, and they're the kind of thing that they publish in several times in a decade. And the government does study that and has studied it over time. So it's something that for which we do have the odds and based on a reliable source of information. So trying to find the actual odds by age. I'm not sure. I know we have them. So we have the odds a woman will enter her first marriage by the age of 20, 25, 30, 35, and the odds increase the older you get up to a point. But then the odds someone age 35 will get married in her lifetime, the odds will drop the older you get when you haven't been married, if that makes sense. So
it does to me, yes.
Yeah. So
the odds, actually you have this as the odds a woman will enter her first marriage by the age of 35 is 1 in 1.2.
Correct. So by that age, a woman will have entered. So it starts in that little series, Age at First Marriage, it starts at age 20, and by age 20, 1 in 7.6 women have been married, have had their first marriage. By 25, it's 1 in 2.1. By 30, 1 in 1.4. By 35, 1 in 1.2. But it's a little bit different question. If you say, is a woman 35 who has not been married, will she get married in her lifetime? Those odds drop the older you get if you haven't been married at all.
Yeah, it actually looks like 20% of marriages will occur after age 35. Now, it doesn't answer exactly what we're asked, but we'll go to the website and try and find it rather than the book or the Facebook page.
In the book just has, although there's lots of stats on that particular topic, because it's studied in the National Survey of Family Growth, which is the source of the odds of a woman will enter her first marriage by age, and then there are also the odds a woman will get married by a certain age in the same source.
It turns out that sexual frequency in marriage for men relates to how happy they say they are. And if they're thinking they're having more sex than the average guy, they are happier, and you have that in here as well. Your heart cheating, you even have the odds of an ever-married man or cohabitating adult who has not cheated during the relationship fantasizes about cheating is 1 in 3.3.
Right.
So there are all kinds of interesting things to read in here. Another one is, I was wondering, the you also talk a lot about prom night. And what are the chances of getting pregnant on prom night?
Yeah, and that was actually, when you asked about how easy or difficult, how much study does it take to do some of the odds, and that one actually has to do with, it's a little story we put together. My co-author, Amram Shapiro in particular, was interested in this topic. And there's no study of girls who've had sex on prom night. But what we do have is several different things that were available. So the odds of a female 12th grade student had sexual intercourse, that's available. That's 1 in 1.6. And so to get the little story of pregnancy on prom night is a combination of data that's available and assumptions. So one of the first assumptions...
So 1 in 1.6 means roughly 60% of the time.
Yeah.
Someone has had had intercourse before 12th grade, I guess you'd say.
No, a 12th grade student. So when they do that youth risk surveillance survey is the source of that, and they ask questions of people in different grades. And so the 12th graders who responded, this is available for both females and males. So 12th grade females, over 60%, have had sexual intercourse by their time they're in 12th grade. Doesn't say they had it before 12th grade. Some of them will have had it before 12th grade, but it's by the time you're in 12th grade.
In 12th grade and before.
And before, yeah. And so starting with the number of 12th grade students who have had intercourse, females, then the next assumption that's made to get to this odds of what are the odds your daughter will get pregnant on prom night? So the first major assumption is assuming half the girls who have had sex will have sex on prom night. And then you have to go through, well, they're going to be using protection. Are they going to be using no protection, a condom, or a pill, contraception, or a combination? And there are data on the use of contraception by teenagers. In fact, there's a study that's done that the teenagers in the United States, sexual activity, contraceptive use, and childbearing. The National Survey of Family Growth captures those data. And so by putting a bunch of these different data points together, we came up with, it's a combination of stats and speculation, a nervous parent's speculative odds of a teenage girl getting pregnant when having sex on prom night, 1 in 506.
So 1 in 506.
Yeah.
And Joe, we're going to have to go to you pretty soon. Thank you very much. This is a wonderfully interesting book, The Book of Odds, and one of the authors who's been with us, Louise Firth Campbell. Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mike, and thank you, Louise Firth Campbell. It is called The Book of Odds. From Lightning Strikes to Love at First Sight, The Odds of Everyday Life. It's published by William Morrow, and it is a terrific read, and you can't put it down. None of these books are ones you can ever put down, and certainly this is the case with the book that was co-written by Louise Firth Campbell. Thank you for listening today to the show. Don't forget it's udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com for any emails or questions you have for Dr. Mike. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.